This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
On Easter Monday, we heard of the sad passing of Pope Francis. This Saturday, funeral mass will take place in St. Peter's Square. Pope Francis has been remembered as a football-loving, humble pontiff who stood up for the poor and abused. His passing has set in motion a centuries-old tradition, which will culminate in the election by cardinals of a new pontiff. I'm delighted to have back in studio South African-born, Portuguese-raised journalist Michael Gilby to explain what happens next. Michael, it's always good to have you back. Thanks for joining me.
A very good afternoon to all our listeners, and thank you once again for having me. Cherise, I really, really enjoy coming to Chai FM. It's important, it's special, and it's unique. It's a very special radio station. And it's always a pleasure to be here because we all come from the same place, the father of humanity, Abraham, and we all come from the 12 tribes of Israel. So we share a lot of links in common. And when you ask me to come to speak about the process of the election of the new pope and what happens during the funeral and the declaration of death of the ceasing pope, I obviously had to be here, and thank you once again. And you're still going through the festivities of Pesach, is that?
No, Pesach is over.
That was just
over a week ago we finished. So we are, we're just doing a lot of commemorating and celebrating at the moment. It's a busy month.
That's good. It's good. And I heard you were in Israel, and welcome back home to South Africa. And I hope it was a productive and special time in the Holy Land.
Thank you very much. It was interesting to see Israel. Like, the last time I was there was a year ago. So it's interesting to see the developments over time.
And your general sense of the mood, was it?
Sure. It's hard. It is hard. I mean, at one level, it's life goes on. But on the other hand, the trauma, I think for many Israelis, they're still living on October the 7th. And so long as those hostages are in Gaza, there is no peace, no closure, no...
And that's why we have to insist that they bring them home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So, Michael, to talk a little bit about the passing of the Pope on Easter Monday, was that kind of, did that add extra poignancy?
A little bit. It was, a lot of people are saying it was Jesus Christ himself, because he was risen on the Sunday, that came down and took him by the hand. Pope Francis was sick. He was ill. His health was deteriorating, and he was interned in the hospital for a while. It was 2 weeks almost, and then he got better. He carried on with his papal duties, and he celebrated Mass, and he presided over the Easter festivities, and then he passed away on the evening, early morning of Easter Monday. So it was a little bit of a, because everybody saw him on the veranda giving the blessing, and people thought, oh, okay, so he's good now. And then all of a sudden, it was
quite shocking.
Monday morning, everybody
woke up to the news.
My mom, who's working in Saudi Arabia, and she sent me a message early morning, and I thought, is this true? Is it not true? I don't know. So I did a bit of research, and unfortunately, it was true. And when I saw the first news snippets on the wires, Bloomberg, BBC World News, CNN, all of them, it was within 45 minutes of his passing.
Michael, there's a very detailed process that takes place. And it goes back, I think, to the 13th century.
Yes.
Of how a new pope is elected. And it's a pope for life.
Yes. Well, what can happen if the pope feels that he is no longer able to serve the 1.4 billion Catholics around the world and the Holy Church, he abdicates. And so, like Pope Benedict XVI, he became Pope Emeritus, And because he felt that his health and his energy didn't have enough stamina to lead the church, so he abdicated. So this was one of the rare instances where you've got two popes. One is emeritus and not serving anymore, but he's still considered a pope. He is a pope-elect. And then the conclave happened and they elected Pope Francis, and it's until his death or until he decides that he can't serve the church anymore.
And you mentioned 1.4 billion Catholics.
Yes.
So I didn't actually realize that. So Catholicism in South Africa, for example, is it, where does it come compared to other?
It's one of the it's a big denomination. And at a point it was very, very large, but it's never been the majority, because you must remember that our country has a history of mixed cultures and mixed origins. So the Dutch Reformed Church, because they were Lutheran and Calvinistic and Protestant, and they fled, the French Huguenots, the Flemish, the Dutch, the German, they wanted to have their own religion, their own land, free of persecution. And because South Africa was also a British colony, you had a lot of Anglicans and Protestants. So Catholicism is in South Africa, has always been, but it's not, I don't have the figures, I don't want to lie to you or to our listeners, but it's not one of the most prevalent denominations of Christianity.
Sure, because 1.4 billion people. And I was just looking at contestants for the new pope, and it's basically representatives from Europe, North America, Africa, Asia, Oceania, and South America.
Yes.
So it is highly contested. I imagine that it is also highly political.
A little bit. Unfortunately, I don't know if you've or any of our listeners have ever seen a fantastic movie. It's an amazing movie. It's called The Kingdom of Heaven. It's directed by Ridley Scott. I think it was released in 2005, 2006. It stars Liam Neeson, Orlando Bloom, Jeremy Irons. It's a beautiful movie about King Baldwin, the King of Jerusalem. And it's in the Holy Land. And it's about the, it's in 1293, it's during the time of the Crusades, where Christian armies, Catholic armies take over the Templars. They reconquer, at that stage they have reconquered the holy city of Jerusalem, and they hold Jerusalem, King Baldwin, he was the leper king, he held Jerusalem as a place of prayer for everyone, Jews, Muslims, and Christians, because it is truly the Holy Land. And so at that point, the Catholics are trying to fight and keep the Holy Land and keep control, but the point is that there's never a, it's how can I say this, the process of leading the church is never easy, because in those days, and this is my point, in the movie in France, one of the bishops says to Balian, the main character, Orlando Bloom, the actor, says to him, there is a lot that is done in Christendom of which Christ would be incapable of. And so a lot of nominations for Pope were political. At a stage in the up until the 1700s, the Holy See, the Vatican, was the United Nations. The Pope, by official decree, declared, for instance, Portugal independent as a nation state in 1143. So the Pope wasn't just the figurehead, the leader of the Catholic Church. He was like a world president or secretary general of the United Nations, if you'd like. But it is supposed to be spiritual. It is supposed to be, and it is to a point, because when conclave happens, the College of Cardinals are sequestered, and they go, they have no cell phones, no news from the exterior, and all they have to do is pray, reflect, and hope that the Holy Spirit guides them in choosing the next leader of the church.
So actually what I'm going to do, I'm going to suggest we take our break now. I'm going to invite Craig into the studio in the meantime. And then after the break, maybe just for a few minutes, talk a little bit about how this process takes place, what we can expect in the next few days, and how, yeah, what happens
100%,
next.
100%, no problem.
Perfect. Thanks, Craig.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to journalist Michael Gilby about how the Pope is elected or chosen. Michael.
Okay, so we'll go through it quickly. I don't want to take too much of your time as well. So firstly, what happens when the Pope dies? There has to be confirmation of death. His Camarlengo, the Pope's counselor and chamberlain, confirms death in a very nice detail. He feels his pulse, and if there is no pulse, he calls his baptism name three times. In this case, George Bergoglio, because Pope Francis's name is baptism name is George Bergoglio. If there is no response, death is declared, and they commend his soul to God with a Latin prayer. After this, immediately after this, the ring of the fisherman that the Pope has, because it bears the official papal seal and is used to confirm and sign Vatican and church documents, is destroyed. The ring of the fisherman is destroyed. It has to be destroyed. And after that, sedi vacante, which means empty throne or empty seat of the church, is declared. And there follows 9 days of official mourning. So the papal apartment is sealed. Nothing can come out or go into the papal apartment for the 9 days of official mourning. The Pope's body is prepared, but before this, there is a public announcement. They say the Pope is dead. There is no Pope, and it is declared to the world that the church is now with the open seat, sedi vacante. The 9 days follow. The Pope's body is prepared. The Catholics do not, or 99.9% of the times, do not do autopsies. So the body is prepared. And as we've seen during the last few days, it's put on display so that the world's faithful, world's leaders, and the church itself and Catholics can pay their last respects to the Pope by viewing the body one last time. And actually today, the 25th of April, is the day that the coffin is closed. The Pope is buried in three coffins, one simple wooden coffin. That coffin goes inside a metal coffin, an iron coffin, and that one goes inside an oak coffin.
Sure.
And then, if there are no other instructions, this Pope, Pope Francis, elected to be buried at the Church of Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome. But if not, all the popes are buried under St. Peter's Basilica, because that is where St. Peter, the first pope, the first leader of the church, was buried. After that, after the official 9 days are over, and tomorrow, the 26th of April, the Pope will be interred. Then conclave will happen. So just to give you a quick idea, there are 252 cardinals around the world, but the number of electorate cardinals is only 135.
135 people make that decision.
So these 135 have already traveled or on their way to Rome, and they will be sequestered. So no outside news, no cell phones, no internet, nothing. They are sequestered into the cloisters of the Sistine Chapel, and there they sleep, not inside the Sistine Chapel, but in the apartments. They get food, they get water, and they are supposed to reflect and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide them in choosing the next vicar of Christ, the next leader of the Catholic Church. They are elected by voting. It has to have a two-thirds majority of the 135 College of Cardinals, and they write in Latin on a special paper. It's a mixture of cotton and papyrus and paper paste, and they write in Latin, "Eligo sumo pontifici," I elect as Pope the name of the cardinal. If there are no two-thirds majority, the votes, after they are counted, they are strung together on a piece of red string, and they are put inside the little urn, And there is a powder. Nowadays, it's more of a canister, but there's a powder that goes in, and it's black smoke. Black smoke signifies there is no pope. If there is two-thirds majority, the cardinal, the elector, the grand elector, which is one of the cardinals that cannot be chosen pope because he is the official of the table and he takes care of the voting and of the process of electing a new pope, he asks him, this cardinal, do you accept this burden? And he will say either yes or no. If he says no, voting will resume and black smoke comes again. If he says yes, then they ask him, what is your name? What papal name do you want to be known by? And he will give a name. In Latin, normally, like this Pope Francis was Francescos. And then he is installed as Pope. And he goes to the balcony, he gives his first blessing as Pope. And yeah, he chooses his name and his coat of arms.
So we're going to leave it there.
Yes.
But perhaps when we have the new pope, you'll come back and tell us a little bit about that.
With pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And I just want to wish all our listeners a very happy and very blessed Sabbath for tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
God bless you all.
That was Michael Gilby.